This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
So much of the medical profession's energy is devoted to keeping people alive that we can almost forget about the issue of dying. But death is part of life, and for those approaching old age or with a terminal illness, there may be choices to make about the best way to die. What makes a good death? And is it always preferable to keep people alive at all costs? Western culture has become quite squeamish about death, and so when it approaches, we can be quite unprepared to deal with it. One organisation that works with those who are dying and their families is Life Circle. They've only just formed in July from a merger of two separate organisations, Home Hospice and Life Goes On. Brinny Goodwill is the CEO of Life Circle, and she joins me to talk about the issue of dying. Hi, Brinny.
Hi, how are you, Katrina?
Oh, not too bad. Our Western culture doesn't always really know what to do with death. We don't talk about it much, do we?
No, I think there's a bit of a taboo around death and dying, and as you mentioned it quite appropriately, it is put in the squeamish box as though, I don't know, maybe if talking about it would bring it on or would be something to be afraid of rather than something to embrace.
And what are some of the ramifications of that when death actually approaches?
I think you end up, obviously, now let's talk about death at different times. Certainly when there's a sudden death and earlier in someone's life journey, that is, you know, that's something that is very hard to come to terms with because there's an expectation that people will live a natural course of life. So putting that aside for one moment, I think looking at death that comes at the natural course, the end of one's life, is something that could be looked at as a celebration of life rather than something to be feared and phobic about, because we all know it's going to come and we all know it's going to occur. So I think when people actually create a fear around death, it actually then changes the quality of what can happen at one's natural life end.
Okay. Well, so much of medicine has focused on extending life, and I guess that's starting to be questioned now, because sometimes just extending life or keeping someone alive at all costs doesn't necessarily give the patient a better ending. Is that sort of attitude starting to change now, Brinny?
I think so. I think the understanding is that actually the last thing that you want in at the end of life, if you have a couple of hours, days, or even weeks to live, is to have more tests and be probed and prodded and looked at ways to potentially extend life. But the cost of that is actually a tremendous amount of intervention and frustration and distancing from those who love you, who actually would like to be near you and supporting you, instead of, you know, being stuck in a system where that's not easily possible, and being hooked up to, you know, to equipment, etc. So it is a changing view right now, yes.
Mm-hmm. And your organisation partly helps people to die at home or in the place of their choice. Why is that a priority for you at Life Circle?
The priority is because 80% of Australians have expressed an interest to die at home, but if we're lucky, 30% at this stage are able to do so. And that's often because, well, one is a lot of people don't have the information that is okay, that actually is okay to die at home. Secondly, there isn't the support for carers, people who look after loved ones or others at end of life, that there isn't the support for them, so that when there's burnout of people who are caring, may pick up the phone and someone will end up in hospital, when then that's not the desired course. So Life Circle was, as you appropriately mentioned, was formed from the merger of Home Hospice and Life Goes On. Home Hospice had a very strong tradition of supporting, of providing mentors to look after people at life end, so that they are able to die at home or in the place they choose.
Mm, okay, and how important is it to talk about all this stuff, I guess, before the person becomes really unwell and find out what they want?
It's so important to talk about these things at whatever stage. In certain cultures, death is viewed as a very natural part of life, and young children are involved in, they're around elders as they're reaching life end and celebrating in their death after they've gone. So it's so important to do so, to normalize death and not have it seem as something that's separate from us, but rather a part of our life. Because if we come to terms with death as a natural part of life, then we actually have much more space to enjoy life to the fullest all the way through.
It is hard, though. I mean, I have an aunt who's aging in England, and she'll be 80 soon, and, you know, I would have no idea what she would want done when she dies. And it's a very hard thing to bring up, because people don't like to think about their own death.
Well, it is a tricky one, and people approach it very differently. Sometimes they're able to approach loved ones or family members by saying, "You know, I have a friend," and they approach it in the typical sort of third person story. Sometimes, however, you actually find that people who are in their later stages are more comfortable talking about it than you might even imagine. It's sometimes the younger generation or the generation of the children that are more concerned about having it be uncomfortable for somebody who's older rather than somebody who's older. So without actually raising the question or having the conversation, it never can happen. But I find the more people that I meet who are at that stage of life, at a later stage in life, actually are sometimes relieved when you begin to open the conversation.
Okay. Well, tell us more about the mentoring service to help families who are caring for a loved one, you know, with a terminal illness. What does that actually involve for the mentors
and the families? So mentors are our volunteers, our telephone counselors and mentors are both volunteers with Life Circle. Telephone counselors have walked through life-threatening illness, come through the other end, taken an intensive training program, and are on the phones available to help families who call to have questions about life-threatening illness or if they're facing life end. The mentors are volunteers who have looked after someone at life end, who've gone through a caring experience, and after 2 years post-bereavement, they go through a training program with us and then become available for, there's a one-to-one relationship between a mentor and a carer. They're matched up with someone who is looking after someone at life end, and they are available for a telephone conversation, for a cup of coffee, to help the carer access family support, community services, ask any question they have about what to expect, about the different stages that they're experiencing, basically to share the wisdom from someone who's walked the journey with someone who is facing it at that moment.
Mm. If someone's listening to this now and they're thinking, you know, maybe I could do that. I've been through this journey before and I'd like to help somebody else. How can they actually get involved in becoming a mentor?
Well, becoming a mentor, it's a wonderful thing. If they were to call our 1-800 number, which is 1-800-132-229, or go on our website, lifecircle.org.au, they're able to register their interest in becoming a mentor. They go through an application process because we obviously want to make sure that mentors are very comfortable in the role that they'll have. And after the application process, then they go through a three-day training program. And we provide support for our mentors all the way through. So our mentors have a coordinator who brings them together either by telephone or in person fortnightly to share any questions or concerns that they may have with other mentors and with the coordinator. The coordinator is available for calls or conversation at any time about what the mentor is experiencing. So there's full supervision.
And you've actually got a training course coming up in November, haven't you?
We do. It's on November 12 and 13, which is a Saturday and a Sunday. And it will be held at our offices, in the office of the Cancer Council New South Wales in Woolloomooloo. 2 days in November, and then there'll be a follow-up on the 12th and the 13th, and the follow-up will be at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. So for people who would be interested, it would be terrific to have them give us a call and fill out an application.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you, Brinny, for telling us a little bit more about your organisation and, I guess, for touching on some of those issues around death and dying.
Thank you, Katrina.
That's Brinny Goodwill. She's the CEO of Life Circle. You find them online at lifecircle.org.au. And that 1-800 number was 1-800-132-229. That's 1-800-132-229.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.